together, we pray that you will reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Do sit down. Well, I like perusing the newspapers for interesting articles on different things. And a couple of weeks ago, I read an article about what was said to be a new form of therapy called walking therapy. And basically, it's like any other sort of therapy, except that you and the therapist go for a walk and you do the therapy as you walk along. And the person who's being interviewed for the article said they'd found it quite difficult to get this new sort of therapy approved by the therapeutic governing body that they were associated with, etc. It made me think. I'm sure you can tell where I'm going now. Because our gospel story starts with two ordinary disciples on a journey, on a walk, if you like, back to their home in Emmaus. A journey which is going to change everything. A journey which leads them from non-recognition to recognition, which leads them from having their eyes closed to having their eyes opened. We know from the first verse in that gospel reading that we've just had that it's the first day of the week, that same day. And these two, the two of them, they're part of the larger body of disciples who have just dismissed the news that's been brought by Mary Magdalene and the other woman that the tomb was empty and the Lord had risen. These words seem to them an idle tale, writes Luke. These two disciples are struggling to understand what has happened. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. What did it mean? How could they hold together their hope that Jesus was the promised one with the reality that he'd died, he'd been crucified? They obviously felt so let down that they had left the rest of the disciples and were on a journey back to Emmaus. Despondent, downcast, sad. You can picture the way they might walk, bodies bent over, movements slow, faces in despair. While he was with them, Jesus had made everything seem new and exciting, full of life, full of hope. But now they're living with the reality of Jesus's suffering and death. It must have felt like a complete loss of hope. How often do you feel like that? Lost? A bit desperate? Despondent? In verse 15, it says this: while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. The two became three. There was a companion on the journey to help them make sense of their story, to help them understand something about this story of loss and the puzzling news of an empty tomb. They can't believe he's asking what they're talking about. Surely everyone had heard the stories of what had happened in Jerusalem. So they tell him what's happened. Their hope that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. Their distress that Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, had been handed over to be crucified. And this puzzling story of the women and their discovery of the empty tomb, the vision of angels saying Jesus was alive. Astonished disbelief. But then something happens. Something shifts. The stranger begins to speak, and his words demand serious attention. He's listened to them, and now they listen to him. Having told them how foolish they are and how slow of heart, He wakes them up to listen and be challenged with these words. And he starts to unpack the stories of Scripture, beginning right back with Moses and all the prophets. And he interpreted to them the things about himself in the Scriptures. They and we are reminded that the Scriptures point to Jesus, that Jesus is the culmination of this story of salvation, which has been unfolding since Abraham, since Moses, since the prophets. But there is a sense in which Jesus cannot be understood without the Scriptures, and the Scriptures cannot be understood without Jesus. And this stranger places the things that have taken place in Jerusalem in these days, the things that have been going on, in the context of this big picture story, this big sweep of God's salvation. And it's so much bigger than the disciples' story. Jesus' presence with the disciples changes everything. As Jesus walks and talks with the disciples, their hearts were burning within them. As Jesus opened up the Scriptures to them, his presence started to change their sadness into joy. So we get to the pivotal moment in the story, the invitation to stay with us. Because we might imagine that as the disciples drew close to Emmaus, they'd say farewell. Indeed, it says in the account, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they plead with him. They insist that he stays, saying, stay with us because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them, and they sat down at a table to eat. Sitting round a table to eat is a place of intimacy, a place for sharing of ourselves as well as for sharing food, for catching up with one another's lives, for sharing the dramas of life, the joys, the sorrows, the hopes, the fears. It reminds us, maybe, of Jesus sitting round the table with his disciples at the Last Supper. Maybe it reminds us of sitting round our own family meal tables. As Jesus enters this home and they sat down at table to eat, his role, Jesus' role, changes from honoured guest to host at the table. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. The sequence of actions with the bread is so simple and ordinary, yet so profoundly full of symbolism and meaning. Because it's actually what we do with our food all the time. It's the ordinary stuff of ordinary shared meals which bring us into community and shared fellowship around a table. And it's what Christians have been doing, gathering around a table for the last 2,000 years. It's what we do week by week in this church when we gather around this table. It's an invitation to intimacy with Jesus, to intimacy with one another, to communion with God, and to know the presence of the risen Jesus as we meet. And it's at this moment, when the bread is broken, that the eyes of the disciples are opened and they recognize the risen Jesus. Yet, it's at that very moment of recognition that Jesus vanishes from their sight. But the disciples now have no doubt about who he is. They recognize the risen Jesus. The disciples don't just sit there and relish the moment. That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. What a different journey from the one they came the other way. And when they got there, they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They told them what had happened on the road and how he had made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread. Jesus is alive. He's risen. We met him on the road. And there's no time to waste. They need to go out and tell others the good news too. Imagine that change of heart. They journeyed from a place of hope, of doubt and despair, to a place of new life and hope. Disappointment, loss, are transferred to joy and renewal of new hope. How can we discover that new hope and joy in the risen Jesus for ourselves? Well, we can choose to go for a walk alone. Don't know if any of you go on a prayer walk ever, by yourselves or in company. You can choose to go to a walk with someone else, sharing the journey, sharing the load, expecting the risen Jesus to be there with you. Some of us might find it difficult to actually go out and go for a walk. John was just telling me about a friend of his who had an article in the Church Times last week about a virtual pilgrimage that she goes on, where she shares in the journey of the pilgrimage by sharing blogs and sharing online experiences in company with others who are also confined to their homes through illness and different circumstances. It's part of the great tradition of the Christian faith to go on pilgrimage, to go on a journey, and to seek the presence of Jesus as we travel. In a previous church that I was part of, it was something that we did every year on an annual basis. We'd go on a pilgrimage to some local place. And yes, it was really exciting to get there. But what was really important was the journey, the walking side by side with one another, sharing our hopes, our fears, our joys, our sadnesses, and knowing that Jesus was present with us on the journey. Some of us have the privilege of going later this year in November on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, to the place where Jesus walked. And it's our hope and prayer that we'll discover there the presence of Jesus as we walk in his footsteps. Why not join us if you're not already joining us on that journey? So I'd like to invite everyone just to pause for a moment. It may not be walking therapy as I read about it in the Times a few weeks ago, but there's something really powerful about walking with Jesus, walking with companions, whether it's in real life or whether it's virtual. So let's just pause and think where we might discover that in our own lives. The invitation is to go on a journey and be transformed. May you all discover afresh the joy of the risen Jesus. Amen.